And this freaking lady go off on kids because they don't freaking get this crap.
Man.
If you would just get up and teach them instead of handing them a freaking packet, yo. There's kids in here who don't learn like that.
Bye.
They need to learn face to face. You're just getting mad because I'm pointing out the obvious and you're too late.
You're wasting my time.
No, I'm not wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you what you need to do.
Get out.
You want kids to come into your class? You want them to get excited for this? You got
to
come in here. You got to make them excited. You want a kid to change and start doing better? You got to touch his freaking heart. Can't expect a kid to change if all you do is just tell him. You gotta take this job serious. This is the future of this nation. And when you come in here like you did last time and make a statement about, oh, this is my paycheck, indeed it is. But this is my country's future and my education.
Can you go outside, please?
Square beans.
But there's a limit. When I'm not bitching, but simply making an observation.
Okay.
And now I will leave. You're welcome. And if you would like, I'll teach you a little more so you can actually learn how to teach a freaking class. Because since I got here, I've done nothing but read packets.
Go.
So don't try and take credibility for teaching me jack.
Just go. Bye.
It is a classroom outburst seen around the world. A Duncanville High School student with a lesson for his history teacher. Jeff Bliss's viral video has a lot of people talking, including leaders at his district. Jeff is here with us this morning, and your mom is here. We're going to talk to her as well. She wants to stay off camera, though, because she is a teacher in another school district, but we'll hear her response. And you've got quite an inspirational story. You're 18, you're a sophomore, and you're back in school after dropping out of school for a year. So this incident on Monday, why'd you do it?
I did it because I felt there was a point in which somebody needed to bring that subject out of the darkness, bring it to the light, and make a statement to it that there's an education system that's failing us right now, and we need to be aware of it.
One of the things you and I had discussed during the break, you've gotten a lot of reaction, we'll get to that, is one thing is saying how you feel about something, the other is how you deliver it.
Yes.
Do you feel you were fair in the way you delivered it to your teacher?
I did show aggression, but at the same time, I believe that it was a positive aggression and not a negative aggression. And even though it was an aggression, I still believe that had I been calmer, it could have made even more of an impact.
So last night you told Jason Whiteley you didn't regret it. Now this morning, giving it some thought, do you regret it?
Not at all. Still, no. I am still 100% glad that I said this.
A lot of reaction. What have you heard from your end?
Just positive feedback. People inspired by what's being said on that video.
Oftentimes we're taught to have a discussion like you did with your teacher. You don't do it in public. You do it in private.
That is true. But I felt this is something that everybody needs to start looking at and saying, we need to fix this.
Mom, you are a teacher in another school district and you don't want us to show your face, but what is wrong with the school system that your son had to do this in class?
I don't, when you say school system, I'm hoping...
In general.
In general, thank you. I think our young people are struggling. We're in a great paradigm shift educationally, and the whole country is in paradigm shift. Things are much different, and yet, as teachers, we have to realize that these kids have more information available to them.
You're shaking your head, Jeff.
I am, and I agree with what she's saying. We live in the age of information, so let's step out there to get it, inform ourselves, and see what we can discover. Better ourselves, better our kids' education, make sure that we're leaving something for the next generation.
Jeff, we thank you for being here. Mom, thank you as well. Duncanville ISD says it is currently addressing the situation. A spokesperson released a statement saying the district wants students and teachers to be engaged, but the method by which the student expressed his concern could have been handled in a more appropriate way.
Hey, everybody. Here's one of those times where I turn on the mic and start talking, and we'll see what happens. Today's May 11th. First of all, many of you are already aware of the story of this young man Jeff Bliss, who is an 18-year-old sophomore who is the subject of this viral video, I think that one of his classmates made, where he stands up to a lazy teacher. And this is landing him interviews on television. And I just searched his name on YouTube, and this guy is all over the place. And my inbox has filled up over the last couple of days asking you, go find this guy, pretty much, and get him on the show. Well, I think that's a great idea. So the first thing I wanted to say is if anybody can help, you know, getting contact information. I mean, I went through all the usual channels that, and trust me, these stories come up where there's some story about a kid or something happens in a school and it flashes in the pan of national news. And, you know, I usually search for them. I sometimes find them. I reach out to them. I rarely hear anything back. But I haven't been able to track down solid contact information for this young man yet. So if anybody can do anything to help, I think it's a conversation that could have a lot of benefit, not just for him, but for, you know, these ideas generally, because he is certainly riding a wave of viral appeal right now. And that's kind of what makes the story a little bit bittersweet for me, because it's wonderful and encouraging to see when any kid in these schools realizes that something is wrong and it's not me. Because I think that's what a lot of people quietly internalize through this experience. And I guess what preceded this, what showed up on the video is that the teacher is just doing this drill and kill for some standardized test and having them fill out a packet. And some of you who watch our live show, which is a lot of stuff that never winds up in the podcast, might know that we have this kind of comical crusade against poor customer service. And the gist of that is that the quality of customer service in the public sector has bled into the private sector, where it seems that, I don't know, corporations have realized that people are pretty habituated to substandard service and that they're not terribly self-assertive where they should be, or they don't have the problem-solving skills to remedy bad customer service. And you can kind of lead people through these mazes of, oh, well, there's always a way to solve this problem. You know, just do this, and then you get this form and you fill it out, and from my experience anyway, and that school is a big part of that. You know, the 12 years that people spend in these government schools quietly accepting crap doesn't really prepare them for a life of being self-assertive consumers. And to see somebody say, nope, this is not the quality that I expect. This is for the children. This is for education. This is our future. Whether he believes that or not, and unfortunately, I think he believes it. It was exciting to see somebody stand up and say that in a public school classroom. But unfortunately, it gets sucked into the arena of, oh, what are we going to do about these schools? Who can, I can't wait to hear President Obama weigh in on this, because it has that trajectory to it, right? Where, oh, a brave student has stood up and sparked an important conversation that we need to be having about how to improve the schools. And I totally understand Jeff's point of view. I mean, his mother is a teacher. It's predictable that he would come to believe that schooling and education are synonymous and not antonyms, like they actually are. He's an 18-year-old sophomore, which sounds old to be a sophomore, but the reason why is because the story that I gathered is he dropped out of school and then saw the value of education and decided to go back to school. And I selected that clip that I played at the beginning because it seems like he's right on the edge of that realization that that's not what happens there. You know, so he directed this frustration and this realization of these problems, I think, really towards one teacher. But I don't know what his larger experience has been. I'm guessing that if he did at one point drop out of school, it wasn't a generally positive experience. And here's the interesting thing, okay? Somebody leaves school and then realizes the value of getting an education, and then they go back and they see that what they never noticed before, because they were just a fish in that water of school sucking, of school not being a positive experience for the individual, of school not being an educational experience, period. And to go back and see it with new eyes and say, bullshit, I'm not filling out packets while you, the teacher, sit there at your desk completely disinterested in this. If this is something that I'm supposed to learn, I need to be interested in this. And I need to see some evidence that it's interesting. And a great way to provide that evidence for me would be, since you are the teacher of this subject, you actually demonstrate that it's interesting. Instead of just sitting there and having us fill out packets, because that kind of suggests to me that it's boring. I'm sorry, there is a rooster outside. Folks, I have never met a domesticated bird in my life that I didn't want to punch. I never would. If you're involved with PETA, I want you to know I never would punch a bird. But I want to. And this totally took me back to the ninth grade, watching this video for the first time. And this memory of this horrible, horrible social studies teacher that I had. And this is the story of how I came to hate history for almost like a decade. Now, the apologists will say, oh, well, everyone has a bad, you know, there's bad teachers here and there. But the danger of a bad teacher is so significant. You know, what they can steal from a student, like something that is so potentially interesting. Yesterday, 2 days ago, I interviewed Dan Carlin. I was giggling with delight to just get into some of these stories. I was so excited about that opportunity. 20 years earlier, that was like the most miserable experience. I couldn't think of anything that would bore me more than somebody going on and on and on about the Nazis. In this class, we would go up and down the rows, reading paragraphs out of a textbook. Now, I'd always have to scramble to find my place because I wasn't paying attention. I was certainly doing something else. But to have that Jeff Bliss in my class, oh man, wouldn't that have been something? And that perspective, that was the other thing, having watched this video and thinking about the parents of these kids who defend this system or remained willfully ignorant of what goes on in these schools. Just being able to tune in. Just being able to tune in for an hour here and an hour there and to be horrified, to have to face what's actually going on there. Because for so many of them, it's out of sight, out of mind. And then when something like this happens, you get to very temporarily engage in this very in vogue conversation. Oh, reform and a better future for our children. That's not controversial. You're not taking a stand. It's like when I see on the internet, I see memes against rape. How brave. This whole school reform thing is the same thing. Oh, yeah, somebody should do something. And that's not to say that I think it's a good thing that this discussion grows larger than just attacking a bad teacher. Because I think there's a lot of potentially good teachers, you know, whatever that means to you, who are victims in this as well. Supposedly, this whole eruption that shows up on this cell phone video began when there was some kind of disagreement over how to prepare for a standardized test. Well, teachers hate these tests, and a lot of them really feel like it's an interference with, well, you remember, when they go in there, they're young, they're idealistic, they want to change lives, a lot of them anyway, and those dreams are quickly crushed by the realities of the system. Remember, when they're training you to be a teacher, they don't really tell you what school is all about. And I was fortunate, me personally, when I was doing this, that I had this environment where I was kind of doing the graduate, like the master's program and the certification stuff at the same time. So in the graduate classes, I was exposed to all these people who were already public school teachers in Massachusetts and New York, two notoriously terrible states when it comes to the interference of standardized tests. And all they would do is tell horror stories. All they would do is talk about how, you know, everything they wanted to do was crushed by this obligation to these bean counters and how that just sucked the enthusiasm and the energy right out of them. So this could be a teacher who is just kind of sitting there in quiet resignation as the student goes off on her because she knows. She could not be. She might just be a bad teacher. In fact, I was reading this article on Policy Mike where it pointed out how the classroom was set up, and she basically had her desks a good distance away from all the student desks and kind of arranged like a fortress where she was clearly separated from the class, and she had like a mini fridge and a microwave. And she does just like kind of sit there and take it from Jeff Bliss, which is in. So maybe she is just an apathetic bad teacher, and maybe he's totally right. Maybe she's somebody who, like Jeff Bliss or his classmates, is just beaten down by the system. That happens. That is a regular occurrence for teachers in these schools. You know, my frustration is I see these stories all the time of the real problems for kids, the real struggles for these kids in these schools bubble up into mainstream consciousness just for a minute, and then they evaporate. And they're dismissed always the same way, as if people did their part and took their stand by saying, well, you know, we've got to have reform. And it seems like just yesterday that I was recording a show about a young valedictorian named Erica Goldson. It was 3 years ago. That story didn't seem to play as well in the media. This story is much safer. You see, Erica Goldson wasn't an 18-year-old sophomore. Erica Goldson was the valedictorian. Erica Goldson went through point by point. Jeff Bliss gave a very impassioned speech, which I think, you know, hit on a lot of good points and was a pretty courageous thing to do. But Erica Goldson, referencing the work of John Taylor Gatto, that's dangerous. But still, the viral appeal was such that I was like, I wonder what this could change. I wonder what the impact of this could be. Well, Erica Goldson's valedictorian speech ultimately did nothing to change the stupid fake debate that goes on in the mainstream, because it's a stupid fake debate. But if you think about what she did do for individuals, the people in this audience, the people who heard her on Gnostic Media or Free Talk Live or read her blog or saw that speech or her friends, for whom that event might have been a catalyst to get their kids out of government school, or to get themselves out of government school, or at least to go into government school with their intellectual defenses turned up, the impact was huge. It was life-changing. She had a tremendous impact on actual people, just not on a stupid fake debate. The media says, oh, an interesting story about a girl who sparks an important debate about the need for government to do things. And I hope either I can talk to the student or somebody could share this with him and make it especially clear. The school system is responsible for your indoctrination. The school system is responsible for producing obedient soldiers. The school system is responsible for giving bad teachers health insurance and pensions. The school system is responsible for churning out mindless consumers of useless products and mainstream media, churning out voters. The school system, as we are going to talk about in an upcoming show, is responsible for keeping an open conduit of bodies to the prison industrial complex. The school system is also responsible for an open conduit of cash flowing to any industry that benefits from the labeling, diseasing, and medicating of children, young adults, who do not like and do not fit into the school system. But Jeff Bliss and everybody who is in that position, each and every one of them is responsible for his or her own education.